our studio audience. Haven't heard that term in a long time. Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. From these words. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. Put in everything, all she had to live on." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the example of this widow. This story told in the other Gospels, told throughout history, the story of the widow's mite, is a great testimony to your desire not for our money, not for our time or possessions, but first and foremost, for our hearts. Lord Jesus, we pray today that this time of this message would be a time for us to have a heart-to-heart with you. And Lord, we pray for a heart-changing experience where we will be turned inside out, where you will cleanse our hearts and make us totally 100% open to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this story. Thank you for the words in this gospel lesson. For Lord, they are truly remarkable. And we thank you for the heart behind the gift. The heart behind your gift to us, and the hearts behind the gifts that we see each and every day here at Cross and Resurrection. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The widow's mite. Have you heard this story before? Everybody? I mean, when I was growing up, you know, I didn't know what a mite was. So I thought it was the widow's mite, you know. And yet, it's kind of true, isn't it? This is the widow's mite. This is her strength. This is who she is, and she's honored for giving less than a penny because her heart was sincere. See, the gospel lesson today, actually this gospel lesson appeared numerous times over the last years that I've been preaching, and when they changed hymnals in the church, they actually added that first part to the message. The gospel lesson used to start for this particular Sunday of the church year, used to start when Jesus was looking over at the people giving their offerings into the treasury, and that first part wasn't included. And it changed just in this last cycle, it changed, and they added that part where he condemns those who are making a big show of giving their money. Right? And it's interesting because at first you can say, well, why did they add that? Well, I think it's important to add it to understand the context. Because what was bothering Jesus wasn't that these people were giving their money, was it? If you read the whole context, if you understand the first part of the gospel lesson that I kind of didn't read, I read just the part of the widow's mite, but if you heard the gospel lesson, we read it at the first time, you hear about what Jesus is really struggling with, and it's the lack of sincerity on the part of those who are looking for recognition here in this world. This is how he defines it. He says, Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Now, in and of themselves, those are all would not be considered bad things. They are actually good things. Okay? Nothing wrong with those things. But it's the heart behind the action. It's the heart behind what's happening that Jesus wants us to look at. And so the reason I was so excited about this text is that one of the reasons I love being the pastor here at Cross Resurrection is because I believe that we understand that the Lord wants us to be real. Being real is scary. You know why? Because being real means not only do people see the good things, but people also see the not so good things, right? Being real, being transparent means that you recognize that there are positive things and there are not so positive things. But what amazes me is the heart of the people that I serve. Whether here at EMU, in Tecumseh or Dundee, I just have gotten so humbled by seeing the hearts of the people. Because there's one, you can fake things for a while, but I'll tell you something, you can't fake things for very long. Have you noticed that? Because my dad and I were just talking on the phone the other day, and he was sharing with me they were having difficulties, and it took 2 years. Everybody knew there was something wrong. This is he was talking about his church. But it took 2 years for the truth to come out. And at the end of the conversation, I said to him, Dad, the wonderful thing about the Lord is he always says what's done in secret will be revealed. He says, he promises that the truth will come out, right? He promises that we will see the truth and we will be people of truth. And I just told him, I said, I'm so excited about Cross Resurrection because he asked me, how's it going? I said, I just get a sense of the heart of the people in this congregation and it excites me because of the sincerity, because of the love, because of the desire to seek after God. I went to a workshop yesterday to hear a lady who I was told was really good on speaking on leadership. And if you know me, you know, if you've been in my office, you know I like reading things on leadership. Johannes is going to a workshop, and he gave me all this stuff that he was reading, and I was really amazed by all the articles that he gave me. And it seems to be coming into vogue the reality that true leadership is about the heart. And the lady said this is an interesting comment she made, and it was what kept going over and over in my mind as I was, the Lord woke me up and I was praying. It was this. She said that there are two types of people in leadership: those who are managers and those who are leaders. And she said, the managers are all consumed by the desire to do things right. Any of you experienced managers? Now, this is a good thing, okay? It's not a negative thing. But where they clash with leaders, and once you get to know me, you'll understand that I'm not the manager, okay? Just so you're aware, in case you're wondering. But this is what she said. She said, the reason why you need managers and leaders together, and not one apart from another, is that leaders tend, because of their, you know, their zeal, a lot of them, they tend to care more about doing the right thing rather than doing it right. Does that make sense? And her point was is that you need both. Because when you want to talk about the body of Christ running on all cylinders and doing what it's supposed to do, you need to be doing the right things, but you also need to be doing them right. And that's why sincerity is so important, because it's about understanding and glimpsing the heart of God. It's about asking the hard questions. What does the Lord want us to do? Not what will we want to do, but what does the Lord want from us? And I just get this sense, an overwhelming sense, that the Lord wants to birth in us an experience of the Holy Spirit. I've experienced the Holy Spirit over and over again in the presence of the saints here. But I really believe that the Lord is calling us to open our hearts, to open our minds, to receive what He has for us. And what He has for us, I believe, is He wants to show His power in remarkable ways, because it's only by His grace and through His strength and by His power that we are going to see Him do what He wants to do. Right? We can go around doing things right. But the question we have to ask is, are we doing the right things? And the right things for us as sincere believers in Jesus Christ is, does our heart match His? Does our heart, does our vision, does our desire match the God's desire? God's heart. And that's not an easy task, because these people that Jesus is condemning here, they were doing the right things. Or they were doing it right, I should say. They were doing it right. But what the question I have to ask is, were they doing the right thing? And what was the motive behind it? And I want to just read something that I thought was really amazing. And it's the origin of the word sincere. How many of you like the word sincere? I like that word. If the Lord takes me and you're around when I have my funeral, I hope somebody says He was sincere. That's my desire in life. I want to be sincere. Being sincere has got me in a lot of trouble over the years. Because being sincere means that you put integrity above everything else. It means you put the truth above everything else. And when you're Canadian, I had to tell you this, politeness and political correctness is much more important and valued than truth. Just telling you. So I'm countercultural. It was a tough one. Because somebody said the other day, I was listening to a TV show, and someone said, don't ever mistake politeness for contentment. I thought, interesting. Because you can be polite and not sincere. And I'd like to be both. That'd be my desire. But I want you to listen to the definition. And this, it just struck me when I heard this definition. The origin of the word sincere is uncertain, but some have offered an unusual yet enlightening explanation. Their thinking goes like this. The word itself comes from two Latin words, sine, which means without, and sera, which means wax. Now, in ancient times, fine Italian marble was sold by merchants to those who could afford it for use as tabletops and other kinds of furniture. Sometimes, however, the piece of marble was not smooth and would have small irregularities in pitting. Unscrupulous merchants would sell these imperfect pieces of marble for the same price as the perfect marble. The merchant would carefully fill the pitting, small holes and irregularities, with wax. The fact that wax covered up the imperfections could not be detected until after the marble was purchased and taken home. Then as the wax melted or dissolved, the true nature of the imperfect marble was easily seen. The pieces of marble that were perfect and without blemish were sold as sin sera, or without wax. A person who has a sincere heart is honest and upright. The scribes in their long flowing robes saying their long prayers were not sincere. They covered up their insincerity with a display of piety. The widow who gave all she had showed that her heart was sincere. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us. He says it over and over again. He says in the Old Testament, He uses this term, uncircumcised hearts. Or circumcised hearts, sorry. Holy hearts. He wants us to be people who are sincere. Sincere in our desire to align our will with His. Sincere in our desire to see Him do what He wants to do in the midst of His people. To be real is a sacrifice. For that widow to be real meant to put everything she had into the treasury. Everything she had. To be completely sacrificial. For the widow in the story with Elijah, I always like that story because she had the right at least to object, right? That I was just going home to bake this last bit of flour for my son and I, and then we're going to die. It says, you want me to give you what little I have? And so it's okay to argue with God a little bit about this. Because the one thing I've experienced when you're trying to be sincere is that it is a painful experience. Because it means getting rid of the facade. Someone came to see me on Monday. They wanted to write an article for the university paper. And it was interesting because they asked me some questions. And they said, what would your highest desire be for Cross Resurrection? And I told them, I said, that we would be real. Because I said, as a young person, the great thing I love about the young people today is that they have been so inundated with fake, with plastic, throughout their whole life. They hear people say one thing and do another. They hear people campaign on one thing and do the total opposite. They hear people all the time say one thing, but don't live up to it. They know fake. They know plastic. Do you believe me? Have you experienced this? I just think it's amazing. They got a detector on them. They can detect fake a mile away. Seriously. And if you're going to do university ministry, if you're going to reach out to people in the next generation, then we have got to be asking the Lord to take any fake out of us, to get rid of any insincerity, to get rid of anything that would give us the sense that we need to, again, it's okay to be both and. It's okay to, I want to make this very clear because I don't want to get in trouble. It's okay to be polite and sincere. But brothers and sisters, do you really desire to be sincere? Because then it's willing to give it all. It's willing to surrender it all. It's willing to be transparent. It's willing to give your heart into the hands of the Father. And that is not easy. It is a trusting issue. Do we trust the Lord to ask Him seriously, seriously, what is it that you want us to do? I don't know about you, but when I pray to God, I have this tendency, and this is transparency here, but I have this tendency to really want Him to do things my way. No, kidding, not kidding. Any of you have that little problem? A few of us, right? Don't we just kind of ask Him, you know, Lord, we would like to do it your way, but could your way be our way? Right? And yet, sincerity demands the reverse. Lord, we would like to do it our way, but we would like our way to be your way. Are you willing to ask that question? I think you are. I've seen it over and over again. That's why I'm so thankful to be the pastor here, because I've seen it over and over and over again. The Lord has been challenging us, has He not? Move from Ann Arbor to Ypsilanti. Do university ministry. Start Tecumseh and Dundee. Has the Lord not been challenging us? The Lord been asking us to prayerfully consider what is His desire? Thank you brothers and sisters, for being sincere. Thank you for opening your hearts to ask the question, what is the right thing? Because the Lord, I believe, wants to do amazing things. And the wonderful thing, and I just want to close with this, is let's just pray the wax melts. That's why I think when you hear about holy fire, we sing a lot about holy fire, right? Johannes must like holy fire because we sing a lot about it. And one thing about fire is it purifies. But I'll tell you something, the wax will melt when we come up against fire, right? And I think that's a wonderful thing. Because I want the Lord to take off the wax. Because I think that's what people are looking for. I think people are looking for those who are struggling to do what the Lord wants. I think people are looking for people who are in need of healing and saying, the Lord healed me. I believe people are looking to people who say, you know, I don't know how I'm going to survive. I don't know how I'm going to get through next week, next month, next year, but I have a God who is so much bigger than my worries. I have a God who is so much bigger than your thoughts or my thoughts, so much bigger than my ways or your ways. I have a God who can do anything. I believe that there are people across the street, in this community, in these counties around this area, that desperately need to know that God is alive, that Jesus is alive and well, and that His Holy Spirit is pouring out His gifts and His power and His healing and His sanctification and many other things, even today, even now, among His people. I don't know what the Lord has in store next. I wish I did. All I know is it's going to be cool. Maybe hot. If He's melting the wax. But it's going to be cool. Because He could use one widow to save Elijah. One widow who was willing to give that flower, the last she had. And you know what? The oil never went dry, and the flower lasted till the rain came. Isn't that awesome? She gave it all. Just like this widow and the widow's mite, she gave it all. Because she knew where the true might is. The true might is in a God who is capable of doing more than we ever could imagine. My dream for us, brothers and sisters, my dream for us is that we would be able to impress upon people, not by our words, but by our actions, what we believe about a God who is capable of doing more than we can ever imagine or dream. Can you dream big with me? Can you dream big for what our God wants to do here at Cross Resurrection Lutheran Church? Can you dream big because we have a big God? Can you dream big because we have a God who wants to show up and do things because He says we're going to do things that are way bigger than we can ever afford, way bigger than we can ever do on our own so that He gets the glory? That's why I love healing so much. I love to see people healed. You know why? Because nobody can argue and say, well, I just did it myself. It doesn't work that way. When the Lord shows up and does something that is so much beyond our ability or understanding, it's so cool. Because He gets the glory. And I want Him to get the glory. So let's ask the Lord to give us sincere hearts. Let us ask the Lord to melt the wax. Let us ask the Lord to make us real. so that real people can come through that door and know that they belong and know what we believe and know that we desire to become who God wants us to be. Let's dream big. Let's dream big. Because we have a God who is big. Do you believe me?